If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
Entertainment news now. And with us this morning is film critic Blockbuster Blake. And my question for you, Blake, is about this Michael Jackson movie that's coming out this week. The trailer looks pretty good. What are you hearing about it?
So apparently, good morning, Bob. And apparently the controversy this weekend that is kind of stirred up and I'm sure will be a topic of discussion at many a water cooler this week as the film's about to release stems from the fact that the family, the Jackson family, seems very divided on this. So obviously, Michael had three children, BG, Prince, and then Paris. Paris is Michael's only daughter, and she has been pretty much out of the picture entirely, citing that she feels the film's thematic and tonal offset is going to really sort of hide parts of Michael's legacy that she feels would be important. If we're going to tell a filmic story about her father, while Prince and BG have been very much involved. In fact, they were at both the Berlin, Germany premiere and the Gary, Indiana premiere of the film that just took place recently. And, if you're not aware, the film will star Joffrey Jackson, Michael's nephew, playing the title role. So obviously this is an all-encompassing Jackson family film, except several members, including also Janet and Randy, not wanting to be very much involved and have not been seen publicly promoting the film. So obviously the controversy, the legacy is going to be brought into question here this week with headlines firing off left and right. But in the end, it's, whether or not the film can stand on its own. Is a good question. Now, if you want a little context, Graham King is one of the lead producers on this film, and he was involved in Bohemian Rhapsody, which also had its own controversies, both during its production and in sort of the look back treatment of how it approached Queen. I was a bit critical of that film when it came out. So, if Michael is going to get the exact same treatment, I'm sure I'll personally have my own thoughts as a critic. But obviously, fans are going to want to see Michael's music and energy on screen. And it's my understanding the film depicts that quite well. But the controversy and the legacy is still in question. And like I said, this will be the first of probably many headlines over the next few weeks as the film, hits wide release this weekend, this coming weekend. But it seems like things are already off to an interesting start in terms of the discourse for a film that the mass public has yet to even see.
I don't know if I understand. Does this movie get into the aspects of Michael's life that raised many questions about him or not?
So that is really where Paris has drawn the line. She feels the film does not approach that in any particular way. It tries to avoid it and stick to the more positive aspects, which, I mean, as a film and something that can, tell a positive story, the impact of the music and the art, I feel like that's where the film has leaned heavily. But as far as the controversial legacy and obviously the trials and the accusations and the things that he was acquitted of and the settlements and such, none of those things, I believe, will appear in this film. So in her mind, it doesn't feel like the most honest portrayal of the life of her father. And again, certain members being quiet raises questions. So.
Mm-hmm. In Gary, Indiana, they screened the film. Some members of the family were there at the family home, the old home, 2300 Jackson Street now in Gary. All right, it's going to be interesting to get the reaction this weekend. This is a sad story about the actor Patrick Muldoon. He was only 57. Tell us about what happened here.
So Patrick Muldoon passed away, and this story is just hours old, Bob. So he passed away at home after a heart attack. He was found by his girlfriend after having morning coffee. And Muldoon, who is known as a soap star, as a film actor, and also a successful film producer. He has a film coming out this year, actually, by the title Dirty Hands, known mostly for as a film actor for many fans, including myself, He has a very big part in the 1997 film Starship Troopers, which is a film a lot of people love to discuss about whether it's good or bad. I happen to think he is perfect casting in the film. So he was an actor who had presence in front of a camera. He was also known for work on Days of Our Lives, Melrose Place. And for what it's worth, he got his start while he was still in college, nailed a role on Who's the Boss back in 1990. But sadly, he tragically passed away very suddenly this morning, very in the wee hours, I guess. Wow. Or at least this story is very fresh. So I'm still gathering some details. But if it happened yesterday, the public is finding out today. And this is just a sad passing because this is a guy who acted, produced in both television. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to not have someone be like, hey, wait, I know who that is. If they just look at a photo of him. So.
Yeah. And only 57. We will get to some more movie news coming up with Blockbuster Blake, sponsored by JeffBuysYourHouse.com.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or LindholmRoofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Blake, let's talk about Ebertfest. It's over now, and I'm still trying to figure out why they've ended this. I know you have been part of this, haven't you?
I have, yes. It was originally founded in 1999, and for 27 years, like 26 technically, because of the pandemic, nothing happened that year. I've been involved in 19 years of this festival. It originally started as Roger Ebert's Overlooked Film Festival, where he would show films that he personally felt were overlooked. And it still continued following his passing. But this past weekend, there was a two-day, eight-movie, I will call it marathon, because that's pretty much what it is. It's a real marathon. That took place in Champaign, Illinois, where the festival has always taken place, which is Chicago's hometown community, Champaign and Urbana, at the Virginia Theater, which is one of the last truly great movie palaces the country has still standing and is being protected and utilized. This particular weekend, it was a bit of a mix of emotions, obviously. Some great films showed, including hit things that I hope people will find on streamers very soon, because they've had sort of their run. These are not films that are going to be released anytime soon, with very few exceptions. Films like Charlie Bird, Bob Trevino Likes It. The most recent Nuremberg played in front of a packed house. Also, the South by Southwest darling film Chili Finger, which I could do an entire half hour about that film alone. A lot of great conversation occurred after every screening with Q&As. But Bob, the reason it's ending, honestly, is because it's been harder and harder to produce over the years. This is not a festival like any other in terms of these films are not in competition with one another. These films are not they're not trying to sell these films. This is a festival entirely about the appreciation of cinema and in all of its forms, including they routinely always play a silent film with live accompaniment. It's meant to provide movie-going fans with an experience that is a truly communal act of sitting and watching a great film and then having discourse right after it. I'm very sad to see it go. This has been a big part of my life and is probably, if I'm being honest with you, Bob, it's the reason I'm on the radio with you right now talking about entertainment and film. It's been a great conduit for me, as well as something that has been a foundational part of my education in cinema. Roger was my hero, and he was a great, I would call him a friend, because I got to see him every year at this festival when he was still alive, and he was actually the first interview that I ever conducted when I was a student at the University of Illinois working for the Daily Illini. So yeah, mix of emotions, a big part of my life, a big chapter just closed, but it went out with a bang, with a lot of love, and I feel like the community in Champaign is going to miss the festival. The hope is that it will find a new incarnation in some form, but as of right now, it had to sort of come to an end, or a form of an end. And if you were able to ever attend a screening, you know what it was like. And if you didn't, well, you'll never hear a bad word uttered about it.
It's been great over the years. Great people have been there to answer questions. That theater, one of Roger's favorites, and yeah, we all still miss Roger and Gene, and it would be nice if there were some kind of film fest, especially downstate where Roger spends so much time, that would continue to honor his legacy. That would be awesome. Let's talk about more Top Gun coming soon to a theater near you.
Yes, Bob. So CinemaCon was this last week in Las Vegas. A lot of it felt like behind closed doors. You know, a great deal of journalists and film writers were all on hand to see the debuts of big trailers and big announcements for what's to come in the next either year or few years with films going into development. And the big one for me was that they actually finally confirmed that Top Gun 3 will be happening at Paramount. Tom Cruise will return. There will not be a Top Gun film without Cruise as the star, Pete Maverick Mitchell. It is unclear at the moment who will be directing the film, but Aaron Kruger, who wrote Top Gun Maverick, which was, of course, an immense success and many credit with being the thing that kept the movie-going experience alive at a time when people were just simply not going to the movies in the wake of the pandemic. Jerry Bruckheimer, the great producer who has been around and I like to say he's done it all, is going to be on hand to produce this film. And it's unclear yet if a lot of the returning, if cast from Top Gun Maverick will return. But given the fact that so many were popular and well-received with their performances, I would imagine quite a few of them will make appearances in Top Gun 3. It does not have a title outside of just Top Gun 3. There is a script in development, and the hope, I would imagine, is that the film would be filming or at least the ball really rolling on this for a release within the next 3 years. These films take a while to make, obviously. Maverick famously was produced and ready to go in 2019, but when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, it really pushed back the release date to 2022. So, you know, obviously several of the cast have become bigger stars. Cruise is both producing and starring in things. I'm excited to see what comes out of this. I mean, if anything, you know as well as I do, the cinematography and the action of the movie will be worth seeing on a big screen. And a lot of questions still, but they have confirmed it. It's going to happen. There will be a Top Gun 3.
And like your name, it'll be a blockbuster. Thank you, Blake. We'll talk again tomorrow. Have a good one.
Have a great one.